If I'm giving this topic because I'm ready to marry my kids off, and the answer is no, not yet. My oldest is about to drive. That itself is a big topic, the driving. So she's a couple years away from dating. But the reason why I decided to speak about this topic is because during Sfira Se'omer, this is a period of shatchanus between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which ends the climax of Kabbalah Satorah, is the marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Benu is the Shadchan, the Mefarshim talk about. So we're going to spend the next few weeks, hopefully together, discussing topics in Halacha and Hashkafa of dating. What age a person should be dating, and the involvement of the parents we'll talk about today. The Indian of a Shadchan and paying Shadchanis. The Halacha is about paying Shadchanis. It's a real thing. So that will be the focus over the next few weeks. So let's talk today about the involvement of the parents. What role, if any, should the parents have in finding a Shidduch for their sons and for their daughters? So today's shir, by the way, is sponsored in Lila Nishmas Rachel Gittel Bas Reb Naftali and the Neshama Shavaliyah by the Schwartz family. So let's talk about the involvement of the parents in marrying off a child. So we look at number one. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chav Tes teaches us that Ha'av Chayv Bivno Lamulo, a person's obligated, a father's obligated to ensure that his son receives a bris milah, who lived doso and Pidyon HaBen as well, Lalam the Torah to make sure he learned, Lalasio Isho, and also Isha to make sure he finds a wife, he finds a wife for his son. Lalam the Umnos to teach him a trade. V'yeshomer Afla Shita B'mayim, others say as well to teach him how to swim. So on the long list of things that the father needs to do for his children, one of the things he has to do is Lalasio Isha, to find him a wife. So what's the basis? How do you know? So number two, the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Mebeis teaches us that Lahasio Isha Minol, and what's the source that you have to find the wife for your child? The Chsiv, it says in Yirmiyah, Kichu Nashim, you should marry a woman, Volidu Banim Abanos, have children, Ukichu Levneichem Nashim, and you should take for your sons a wife, find a wife, find the Shidduch for your sons, Vesbenoseichem Tenu La Nashim, and you should give your daughters over to marry men. That's the pasuk. We see the involvement of a father. You should have children and give the sons over, acquire a son, a daughter-in-law, give your daughters to the son-in-law in order to arrange the marriage. So Gemara says, Bishmai, understand, b'no b'yado, the son is in your hand, is in your capacity to find the shidduch. How so? So Rashi says, if you look at number three, Bishma b'no b'yado, levakesh lo isha, shedarcho shel ish lachzer al isha. The nature of man is to chase after women. So it's easy to tell your sons, go get a wife, go find the girl, go out and, where you find the girl, go find her. That's easy to push and to encourage your son to find and help get married. Elabita asks Gemara, Biyadohi, is that in your hand? Is that in your capacity to find a shidduch for your daughter? Says Rashi, V'chiderech ish al achzer al ish. Does a woman chase after men? Certainly not. Women are more passive. The men chase after the women. A woman doesn't ask a guy to go on a date. A guy asks a girl to go on a date. So what does it mean that you should try to encourage your daughter to go find a husband for herself? So Gemara says, Halchi kamar lehu. Ni tein la midi, you should give your daughter something. Livshei v'nichsei, she should dress herself up. She should have jewelry. She should have makeup. Kihecha de kafsei ala inche. People will look after. You have to make her look attractive, make her look dressed properly, whatever that entails, whether it's clothing, whether it's jewelry. But you have to dress her in such a way where men will be chasing after her. So we see from this Gemara clearly that the parents must be involved in some extent to finding a proper spouse for their children. So the Gemara only says ha'av chai bivno, that the father needs to be involved. What about the mother's role? Should the mother be involved in the shidduch dating or not be involved in the shidduch dating? So the Ran raises this point. The Ran in number four writes in the back of Maseches Kedushin, "Ubeha lo bay b'gemara minolan diihi lo mifkadi." The Gemara does not ask the question, "How do we know that she is not chayiv in marrying off her children? Why not? How come the mother's not involved?" The chayiv in the divrei Kabbalah ninhu, since the pasuk, the source of Yirmiyah of Kichu Nashim, it's a divrei Kabbalah, it's in Tanakh somewhere. It's really a svarhi. It's really based on logic. He explains it's not a really exact kasuv. So now we can apply the following logic. A woman is exempt from ensuring her child learns. She's exempt from ensuring that her child gets a pidyon haben. Why? Women are only chayv to do to their children what they themselves are chayv in. So women are not chayv to learn Torah, so they're not chayv to teach the children. Women are not chayv, they're not subject to pidyon haben, so they're not chayv to ensure that the children go through a pidyon haben. So through the same svara says thereon, lahasio nami p'tura, to marry off the children, she's also exempt, kevin de lo mifka de nami a priori. Since women are not chayv the mitzvah peruvu, why they're not chayv peruvu? The pasuk says in Bereish, it says peruvu v'chavshua, you should procreate and conquer the world. So what's the v'chavshua? Why does it say peruvu v'chavshua? So Gemara Yevamos Darshins, ma darcha shel ish lichvosh. Men are warriors. Men are conquerors. They conquer. So the pasuk connects kvisha to peruvu. So only men are chayv in peruvu. Isha ein darcha shel ish lichvosh. Women are not warriors. Women are not conquerors. They don't take over the world. So women are exempt from peruvu. Says the Ran, since women are pata from peruvu themselves, they're pata from ensuring that the children fulfill the mitzvah of peruvu. And therefore, the Ran concludes that women are pater, mothers are pater from being involved in the shidduch. Now, we're going to discuss this, not today, but maybe in a future shir, what exactly is the purpose of nisuin. The Ran here assumes nisuin is to have children. That's certainly one of the main purposes. But the Torah also says an additional reason is shloi adam levado, a person should not be by himself. There's a certain level of companionship, which is part of nisuin, which women certainly do need, but at least for the Ran, since there's no peruvu element for the women, so they don't have to marry off their children.
They're getting back to Pidyon HaBen. Mm-hmm. Rachel Litzlan, she loses her husband. Mm-hmm. She's still not mechuyev in Pidyon HaBen.
Right, so she's not, her role in Pidyon HaBen, after the father is out of the picture, let's say, so it falls on Beis Din. A bezin doesn't mean actually a formal bezin. It means whoever is able to ensure that it happens. So the woman could play that role. The mother could play that role. But it's not her obligation. It's more of a communal obligation that she would be fulfilling. So now, what exactly is the level of obligation of the parents? So, you know, people grow up in different circles. Sometimes parents are heavily involved. Sometimes parents are not heavily involved. You know, there are some cases where they just happen to meet somewhere. They meet at a chasna. They meet at who knows wherever they met, a Pesach program. And sometimes the parents are heavily involved, whereby they won't let anyone talk until the resumes are, you know, reviewed and they compare notes. And so sometimes parents are heavily involved, sometimes they're not involved. So what is the level of involvement, the chiv of the parents? So according to the simple reading of the Gemara, it says, Ha'av chayiv bivno lemulo, and goes on to say, Lahasio isha. It seems like there's a real strong obligation, a real chiv, that the father has to be involved in the marriage. But take a look at the Ezer Mekudesh. The Ezer Mekudesh is the Esha Avram Mibachach. Ezer Avram Mibachach has a parish in Or HaChaim. So he also has a commentary. He has a parish on the Eben Ezer as well. When he writes, he says, number five, Ha'av mitzvah lahasi b'no, mashmer shegam gadol muflog ve'enu al shulchan aviv. The father has an obligation to marry off his son. It sounds like even if the individual, even the child is older, he's independent, he's not dependent on his parents financially anymore, he's really off on his own, it still has a chiv on the father. Why? Because makom mutal kimis bayish. The child, he's embarrassed, he's not so comfortable, talking to a girl, making these arrangements. So according to the Eish Avram, according to Eitz Mekudash, it's simply a practical reason. Not that there's an obligation. Look what he says next. He says, "Ubezivik sheni." Let's say there's a second marriage. So the son's already been married once before. He's having a second marriage, whatever reason. Yesh lomar dekil ki ein misbayish kenog. Then there's less of an obligation because he's already been married once before. He's not so uncomfortable talking to women. He's more comfortable, asking someone to go on a date after being married once before. So if it were to be true that it's really a chiv that the father must be setting up the son, so it should be the chiv should be the same, the zivik rishon, zivik sheni. So clearly from the Eitz Mekudesh, the reason they're involved is just as an Eitz HaTovah, to help them out, help facilitate. But let's say the child is not as, he's not so embarrassed. Let's say he's comfortable in his own skin. He grew up talking to girls. He maybe went to a co-ed school or had some family friends on the block and he was okay talking to girls. So maybe the involvement of the parent wouldn't be so necessary. It's only just because they're misbayish. But if they're not misbayish, so then maybe the obligation, there's no obligation. But according to the Ran, it sounds like there's a real chiyuv. No matter how embarrassed or not embarrassed the child is, the parents should be making the shidduch, it seems. So that's what it sounds like from the outset. A machlok is how involved the parents should be and what the reason is. Now, yeah?
Does it also have a chiyuv to support them?
Very next point. Look at the next point here. The number six, the Ravan writes, Ravan, one of the Rishonim, he was, I believe, the son-in-law of Rashi. So he says, which is interesting also in that light, he says, Af l'hasiyo bizmano ka'amar kishu gadol, v'amitzvahu sheyasok bizivugo, v'yitein lo mamono. So he says, not only should the father be involved, heavily involved, he should be yasuk bezivugo, but he also should give money. Give money to the children to marry them off. Why? The Tanaim was, back then, the Tanaim were these stipulations, agreements. It was a business deal. Now, we don't take the Tanaim so seriously now, but back then, the Tanaim were a real big deal. And they said, how much money are you giving to this side? How much is that side giving? And they made these financial business agreements. So yes, it was part of that obligation is marrying off the child to ensure that they have money. Now, does it mean to support them in kolal? Does it mean to get off the ground? What does that mean exactly? So take a look at this next Mar Malkum, number 7, the Chuvas Maharit. He writes in Yechayot Beis Yeradeya Simen Nechav Zayin, Umeata benidon didon, our case, Hadavar Yadua, it's known, Shenisuei haben mitzvah diramya le'adavuah. So he holds it's a real obligation on the father to marry off the child. It was a practice of the people living in the city that the chasan would give a tachshit to the kala, which would perhaps be the equivalent of a diamond ring. Mitzvah al ha'av litein, the father has the obligation to pay for this. Not the son, the father pays for this. Now this was not brought down in the Gemara, but this was the derech b'nei, the minog is to give a diamond ring when you get engaged. So the father has the obligation to pay for that ring. Just like the father has the obligation to give a nedunya of some sort, some dowry of some sort, levito, to his daughter, to make her more attractive, right? Marrying a woman you shouldn't marry for the money, but that might enhance the, enhance her as a shidduch. Mehagkra gufe, from this very pasuk, so too, part of that is that the chasan gives a nice diamond ring. It's part of the business dealings as well. Now, it's never fun mixing, business and pleasure, but this is part of things sometimes, and that could be another topic, actually, marrying for monetary reasons. Back then, if you look through Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, it sounds like very much so money was a big factor in finding the right shidduch. It sounds sad and dilutes the relationship. I wouldn't recommend anyone to marry because of money. I've told people before, if you get along with her, the money doesn't hurt. It could certainly help. But if it's all about the money, then you're not marrying her. You're marrying your in-laws, and that's not what you want to do. So, but money certainly can be a factor, but I would tell people to really stay far away from that.
One of Rebbe's daughters, he was telling a story, though, and she was in Shidduchim, that something was proposed, and the other side came with, like, they wanted a mortgage and a house and this and that. And Rebbe said, what do you think? I'm a rabbi in a shul. He immediately that,
yeah.
That got canceled. It was just
crazy. Yeah, there's some shidduchim are like that. It's based on, like, what you're offering. I don't know that world, but it's a world that certainly does.
Okay, so I'm connected to somebody very close to the ger Rebbe Shlita. And he said, no, we make the whole arrangements. The kids have no say in this whatsoever.
Yep.
They get to meet each other unless it's a korban when they meet. That's it.
Yep, that's a very, very little involvement of the children. So this would be the extreme where the parents are really making the shidduch. It's a business agreement, and then they figure it out. Mm-hmm. But let's take a look now. One of the most important things that come up, unfortunately, is what if there's a disagreement about the shidduch? Let's say the son finds a lovely girl that he falls in love with, he wants to marry her, and the parents disagree. They don't want him marrying her, this girl, for whatever reason. She doesn't come from enough money, she doesn't have a good parnasa, the way she looks, the way she acts, her hashkafa. So they have a big disagreement. So now the problem here is, so on one hand, the parents, we just said that the parents are involved in the shidduch. So now there's a difference. We see that the son has an independent view, his perspective of who he wants to marry, but he also has a mitzvah of kibbutz avim. So now which one wins? Does he have to listen to his parents? His parents says, don't marry her. Or does he have the right to choose who he thinks is going to be his sheikh, his basher? So if you take a look here, number 8. The Shulchan Aruch writes, it's a clear halacha in Yerdeya. It's actually Ramah. Ramah writes, V'chein im ha'av mocha b'ven. If the father protests against the son, Lisa Eza Isha, he tells him, don't marry this particular woman. She'yachos b'ha'ben, a woman that this boy wants to marry, he fell in love with her, he finds her attractive, They connect. They have some hashkafas. Everything checks the box. He wants to marry this girl. And the father is so against marrying this girl. Ein tzarach, tzarach lishmo el ha'av. You do not need to listen to the father. This is his life. The parents, you have a relationship with your parents, and they're going to be supportive, whether it's supportive, encouraging, or supportive in other ways. But at the end of the day, this is his life. This is, oftentimes in marriage, there's a machlokas between, parents and the couple themselves. They want to do one thing, and the parents want them to do something else. I tell couples all the time, this is your marriage, this is your life. You have to respect your parents. You should never disrespect your parents. But just because, they want it one way and you want a different way, it doesn't work that way. We're all adults here, so a common question comes up, birth control. So birth control, many times the parents don't want their children to, have a child right away. It's, wait a little bit, make parnasa, wait 2-3 years. I said, listen, this is your life, not their life. Yes, they're paying for the wedding and all this, but this is your life now. So they don't have a say in having children or not. This is Europe. Now if you want to, you have to be, if you're depending on their money, so you have to figure out how you're going to make money. That's a responsibility a chasen and kala have when they're married in a chanami. You can't say against your parents and expect them to pay for you. But in terms of having children, birth control is your decision, not their children. Not their decision. Or, decisions of, where to go for Yontif and for Pesach and holidays or where to go. You have to respect your parents, both sides. But at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for you guys in the most respectful way. This is your life. Or naming of children. That's not the grandparents' decision. It's the parents how to name the children. They can't decide. I heard it once from Pesach Krohn, I think he said this, that if the grandparents want to name a child, let them have their own child to name. But it's the parents. It's their life. So, yes, there has to be certainly respect to your parents and Hakar Satov and all that goes with it. But in terms of deciding who to marry, it's very clear in their ma. Ein tzarach lishmo al ha'av. You don't have to listen to your father. Now, we'll come back to Hashkafa in just a moment, whether that's practical and whether it's advisable. But according to the strict halacha, the choosing a spouse overrides kibud av v'aim. So why is that? What's the reason why the child could choose the wife and disregard kibud av v'aim? So the Maharik, who is the source of this halacha, he says there are three different reasons why you could go against your parents and choose your own spouse. The first one he says is as follows. There's a discussion in the Gemara and Kedushin. When you do kibud av v'aim, do you have to pay out of pocket or do you use your parents' money? Let's say you have to send an old parent to a home. It gets expensive to send to a nursing home. So who's paying for that? Let's say the parents have the wherewithal, they have enough money in the bank account, and they could cover the costs of the home. Does the child have to pay? It's his mitzvah. Or can you use the bank account of the father? So the din is Mishal Av. The father. Father pays for it. Now the son makes sure the father or the mother gets to the home. That's your obligation to make sure. But financially, that comes out of pocket from the parents, if they have the money. If they don't have the money, so then the children pay. It's like tzedakah. But you don't have to pay out of pocket for kibud av v'aim. That's not from your money. So this says the Ma'arik, if you don't have to pay out of pocket for kibud av v'aim, so certainly you should not go through tsar, through pain, for kibud av v'aim. And if you're being told you shouldn't marry this girl, that's going to be incredible tsar for the son. So if you don't pay money, kal v'chomer, you shouldn't pay tsar. And that's the reason. One reason he proves that you can choose your own spouse, even though it might be going against your parents' will. That's one reason. Second reason, he says, this goes on the next page, the top of the ode. He says, maybe also listening to your parents to not marry this girl would be considered a violation of when they told you to go against the Torah. A parent says, I want you to drive on Shabbos. You certainly don't listen to them. A parent says that he wants you to eat chazer. You don't listen to them. If they tell you to go against the halacha, you don't listen to your parents. So let's say they tell you to hate this person. You can't listen to them. They tell you, you got into a fight, I don't want you to be mocha that person ever. That's going against the halacha. They can't tell you what to do against the Torah. So he says as follows. Look at the top here of page 2. V'od. The karv hadavar, the einai, lios kimitzvah la'avur al divrei Torah. It's close, it's similar to the parent telling you to violate a din. Sharei Amru, Rabbi Hussein Uzal, we have a Gemara in Kedushin. Aser lo adam shiakadesh esa isha ad shirena. You can't marry a woman until you've seen her. Just like Moshe just said, that by the Hasidim, they just meet them once. You have to at least see if that's a girl you want to marry, but the rest is arranged. You need to at least see her. Why? Kemoshe kosu tosos, haba poskim, hare shik bidu sheikach isha Asher yachvot ba, you have to find the woman who you've desired, who you fall in love with. V'timtza chen beinav, and that you're attracted to. You know, I remember one of the one things when I met Rav Rodenzweig before I started dating. So I asked Rav Rodenzweig, my Rebbe in YU, some advice, what he thought about dating. So he said, you know, there are two basic things what you're looking for. You have to look for that you're attracted to someone, and then that hashkafically you align with each other. So I remember he put it in a very nice way, how to know when you have the same hashkafah or different hashkafahs. And he said very, very, very good examples. That sometimes you could be agreeing, but really disagreeing. And sometimes you could be disagreeing, but you're really agreeing. So the examples he gave me, let's say you're deciding you want to send to a particular school, particular yeshiva. And let's say you both want to send to, the way he called this was like a heterogeneous type of school, a mixed school of, not all cookie cutters, but it's a school of different hashkafas all mixed under one roof. Some people dress different ways, some people wearing black hats, some people wearing colored shirts, some people wearing sandals, all different types of people in the same school. Perhaps a school like we went to. So you both want to send to the same school. It sounds like you're agreeing, right? The same school. But it says it could be from very, very different reasons and different angles. I might want to send to the school because I want my kid to be incredibly exposed. I want him to be far from Yiddishkeit and to be exposed to the worst kids in the world. And the other spouse might say, no, I want them to be exposed so they know what's right and wrong to make right decisions. Because when you're exposed to challenges in the world, you can build a defense mechanism up. And this way, they know what's right and wrong, and they'll make the right decision, and they know that's not what I want to be, and they could be even stronger. So on the surface, it sounds like you're saying the same thing, but from very different angles. And he says the opposite's true as well. You know, I could want to send to a very homogeneous school, every cookie, cutter type of school, everyone's the same, a very, very strong, and Limud Torah Yishmaim. And the other one wants to send to a mixed school, let's say. So that sounds like they're arguing, but they want the same goal. The same result is that they want the kid to be Yishmaim. But one felt it's better to completely isolate from the rest of the world. That's safer. And the other one felt that, no, it's good to expose them this way by seeing exposure. What's wrong, what's right, makes them only strong. So that's where they're arguing on the outside, but be'etzem, they're really agreeing with each other. So when finding a shidduch, you have to find someone who you're attracted to, someone who you get along, you're compatible with, and someone who the hashkaf is aligned with each other. So we see that you find that person who you want to marry, and then what happens is your father tells you, don't marry her. So that's in essence saying, don't fall in love with the person you fell in love with. Don't marry the person who you she'asher yachvot ba. And therefore he says, it's a second reason why you should not have to listen to your father, because it's again, kimitzvah la'avur al divrei Torah. And the third reason, he says it as follows. The mitzvah kibra v'aim is, yeah.
That second reason is, I mean, although I agree with the outcome, it's I think that's very different from saying Dimachal Shabbos.
Yeah, in Echanam, I agree.
There isn't no inherent mitzvah here to marry that girl.
Correct. Which becomes an interesting point. Right? What we're going to see later on, a Rajba alludes to this point, which I don't have enough sources on this. There is discussion, I don't know them, about is there one Bashert in the world for one person? Yeah. Or are there many options of who you choose? So the Rajba is going to allude to such a point later on. But I think the stronger question really is, he's not telling you to hate her. He's telling you not to marry her. That's not a violation of the Torah. So he does say it's kimitzav. It's if this was the only reason, he probably wouldn't pask in this way. But it's one of three reasons as why he's compelled to say you don't have to listen to the father. The third reason is...
Yeah. Analysis saying difference the other way around. The father says, I want you to marry this person. And the son or daughter says, I don't want to.
I would think it would be the same. Because now he might marry someone who he hates. Or he doesn't like or dislikes, and it can lead to terrible churban.
See the start of this, the father's obligation to marry off a child, marry off a son. So he's saying, okay.
Right. So the only obligation really to be involved to ensure that it happened, but in terms of choosing who it is, it seemed that it's really in the court of the son and daughter. So now the third reason why he explains you don't have to listen to the father when he doesn't want you to marry a particular woman is because the mitzvah of kibra v'aim doesn't cover everything. Let's say the father says, I command you to go to a baseball game. I command you to go watch the Yankees. You have to go to that. Like, what's the shaychus to your father going to the Yankee game? Kibra v'aim is when he's getting a benefit. You're feeding him, I need you to feed me, I need you to give me the drink, I need you to help get me dressed, I need you to help with my shoes. Besides that, it doesn't have anything to do with him. He can't just tell you to do random acts. And therefore, since who your son marries doesn't have direct, obviously there will be an effect to the family dynamic. But there's not a direct connection, a direct benefit, a direct damage to the father. Therefore, he says, a third reason you don't have to listen. Look at this inside. We'll read this together. If you're old. The ad kan lo miflagi im mishel avi mishel ben. The only time there's machlokas, who pays for kibud avim, does it come out of the father's pocket or out of the son's pocket? Ela bedavar sheshayach ha'av begavei parnasas ha'av. When there's something that the father has shaychas to, there's a relevance, there's a benefit to the father. Shetzarach guf ha'av v'kuma. There's something the father is benefiting from. Ava milsu de lo shayach begavei. A matter that doesn't apply to the father directly. Kihacha, like this case of who the son marries. Pshita dein koach la'av limchos beben. It's obvious, it's simple. The father has no right to go against the son's choosing. Lo mishum kavod, lo mishum mora. What category does it fall underneath? Is that honoring the father? Is that fearing the father? De lo shayach kavod. Honoring a father is only kigon machilo, mashkeu, malbishu, menaliu. Eating, drinking, dressing, putting on shoes. And mora is lo yashavim koma. Don't sit in his chair. Don't contradict his words. But this, what does choosing a spouse for the son have to do with kibud avim? And therefore, for these three reasons, the Maharit says that you don't have to listen to the father if he goes against who you chose. Number one, again, is you don't have to pay out of pocket for kibud avim. Certainly, you shouldn't have to pay tsar. Number two is it's like telling you to hate someone. And thirdly, because the kibud avim is not shaykh to the father in the terms of choosing a spouse. And that's why the Ramah writes that you don't have to listen to the father if he tells you not to marry a particular woman.
Let's say he comes home, she's full of tattoos and body piercings and whatever, and it's embarrassing.
Very good.
Let's say you're the Rav of the shul and your son comes home with the girl. It's embarrassing, you know, I'm the well-known person.
Excellent question. It seems that the Ravaz and others spoke about such a concept. We'll try to get there in just a moment. There could certainly be situations where there could be embarrassment to the family, how the person dresses, looks, acts, his or her family. There certainly could be levels of busha. But nonetheless, it doesn't seem that plays an actual role halachically, but hashkafically, from a standpoint of an etza, we would advise against it. But let's just go through it. It's a very good and practical, real situation. So look at this wild case in the Rajba, this situation here. Number 10, he's a long shaila and a long tshuva. I just pulled out some of the lines here. But the son-in-law made an agreement with the father-in-law that the father-in-law made the son-in-law promise that the son-in-law and daughter would always live for the next 5 years, live with the father-in-law. Wherever the father-in-law moves, he's moving. He's going to live in New York, he'll be with him. He'll go to Chicago, Toronto, Los Angeles, Florida, Texas, Israel. That, the first 5 years, this son and daughter have to live with the father-in-law. That was the agreement, to make it such a shvuah. Now, the question that was posed to the Rashba, would such a shvuah be chal? Because that means the son-in-law, if he's always with his father-in-law, can't, part of the agreement was that he could leave for 4 months at a time, unless the father-in-law gives permission. It's like a real, very, very strange agreement that was made. But the question is that a shvuah that could even work? Because that means the son can't be by his parents ever, and he can't fulfill the mitzvah of kibud avim. So if he's going to, you know, buy into such a 5-year contract and be away from his parents, would that work? So look what the Rashba answers, number 10, reading just the bold. Says, Nasa, when Reuven gets married to this girl and now has to be with the in-laws for the next 5 years, part of the agreement, and Reuven's parents agreed, they walked him down the aisle, Shimon, and he swore to his father-in-law Shimon to be with him for the next 5 years. Hare elu machlo akvodan. The parents, Reuven's parents, by agreeing to him getting married to this family, was an implicit mechila. A person, a parent, could be mochel on his kavod. I can be mochel that my son sits in my seat. My daughter sits in my seat. I can be mochel. So when he married off a child with the understanding of him living with the in-laws for 5 years, that was a mechila. And therefore, machel akvoda, av shemachel akvoda, kvoda machel. The od, moreover, and this is an interesting line here, shemitzvah likach isha. There's a mitzvah for a man to marry a woman. Uvimako mitzvah, she'iyav shalakaima aide acherim, manichin kavod kibra av veim. So let's say you have the mitzvah kibud avim, and there's another mitzvah that I cannot accomplish through a shliach. Only I could do it. Tefillin, let's say. Let's say I need to wear tefillin. It's about to be Sof Zman tefillin. I didn't wear tefillin yet. And then at the mitzvah kibud avim, my father asked me to get him a drink of water. The din is I need to wear tefillin because I can't do tefillin through a shliach. So a mitzvah that cannot be done through a shliach overrides kibud avim. With that klal, so now marrying a woman, I can't marry a woman with a shliach. I need to marry her myself. So therefore, marrying a woman overrides kibud av va'im. So therefore, even though it goes against my ability of performing Kibud Av Em and deciding who to marry is against Kibud Av Em, let's say, all that, since it's a mitzvah that I can't do through a shliach, I'm able to override the mitzvah of Kibud Av Em. This really enhances, strengthens the position of the Ramah. Now look at this next line here in the bold, the Rajba, where he writes, the Kvar Amru Shemachriz V'Omer Bas Ploni L'Ploni, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, rather Gemara in Sota tells us, that before a child comes into the world, there's a baskel that comes out and says, Reuven is marrying Leah, or whatever the relationship is, Bas Ploni L'Ploni. It's already been destined from Shemayim. And so listen to this line, this goes against, this is what your question was. V'Heim Lo Yitnu, the in-laws, the parents of the daughter, Lo Yitnu will not give their daughter to the son, Im Lo Yikva Diras L'Sham, unless the son-in-law is willing to live with the in-laws. The Yitzchak Avinu, Lule Niskadish V'Nase Ola Tamima, had he not been an Ola Tamima, which meant he couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael, Hayayote V'Holech Meitel Avram Lisa Isha, he would have left Avram to go find the wife for himself. So we see from all this, that when you find the Basher that connects to you, nothing gets in the way. Whatever Shvua, Kibud Av Em cannot get in the way, Yitzchak would have left Avram. You only stay with Avram Avinu because Hashem said you have to stay in Eretz Yisrael. You can't leave Eretz Yisrael. But to find the wife, to find and choose the right spouse, both the Rashba, both the Ma'arit, and the Ramah all say that choosing the spouse overrides Kibud Av Em. Now let me just make one important note about living with in-laws. Not a personal story of any sort. I've experienced that a few times in my life, living with my in-laws. But the great maaser of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. For Shlomo Zalman Orbach, there was a couple who were very old, and they weren't zochet, the children, and at a very old age, they finally had a child. And shortly after the boy was born, the father was nifter. So the mother raised this boy as an elderly mother, and he turned the age of shidduchim. So now it came time to find the shidduch, and he was talking to his rebbe and the Rosh Yeshiva, and he says he's having a hard time finding the girl to marry. Why? Because he only wanted to marry a girl who would be willing to live with him and his mother. Because he took care of his mother, who was 75, or whatever, 85, whatever the age was. So the rabbi says, no one's going to want to marry you and live with your mom. It just doesn't work that way. No one does that. And he says, I'm not willing to give up on that. That's what I want. So the rabbi said, okay, listen. He couldn't knock sense into the boy. Let's go talk to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the God of Hador. He'll knock some sense into the boy. So I meet with Rav Shlomo Zalman, and the Rebbe says, he wants this really unreasonable expectation. It's an unreasonable request. And Rav Shlomo Zalman's looking at both of them. He says, I agree with the boy. He should find a girl who wants to live with him and his mother. So Rashi was shocked. But okay, Rav Shlomo Zalman said it. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I give you a bracha. You should get married and engaged very soon. So, of course, the bracha worked pretty quickly. A couple weeks later, he finds a beautiful woman who's willing to live with him and his mother. So they get married. After Shabbat Brachas is over, Rav Shlomo Zalman calls up the young chassan and he says, okay, now it's time to find your own apartment. He said, Rebbe, you just told me I should marry a girl who wants to live with me and my mother. He says, I told you to find someone who wants to, but not to actually live with your mother. So she's out of the Baal Chesed. She's full of the midos of Derech Eretz. She wants to, but the maaseh is not very practical. That's a different point of this whole tshuva here. But the maaseh, what we see from all these, that as important as Kibud Av Em is, and even though there's a chiv of the parents to ensure that the children get married, in terms of deciding who to marry, so that's up to the child, that's up to the son. Now look at the number 11, Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer. He actually has a point here. Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer says, Al ken yazo v'ish es ovi v'sima v'davuk v'ish, the pasuk says, you should leave your parents and cling and find a wife. The child leaves the parents, they ignore Kibud Av Em, that falls to the wayside. That the love for his spouse overrides the mitzvah Kibud Av Em. Not to mean disrespect, it doesn't mean there's no longer mitzvah Kibud Av Em, certainly there is. But when there's a clash, when there's a tension of a love for a spouse versus parents, the Davak B'Ishto overrides, says the Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar. And this really, it echoes itself through all these different shitas. And we all go through life of decision-making of what's best for the family, what's best for the young couple, what's best for what do the parents want. In the end of the day, it should always be that the young couple should make the decision. It's their own life, they're independent, with, again, respect, with the communication, with the parents and in-laws. But this is very clear from the halacha. Now, one of the points Moshe Hari raised is, let's say he decides to marry a girl who is full of tattoos and whatever busha might bring the family, and each family busha could bring in a different way. So what do you do in that situation? So Stei Chamed writes number 12 here. Amnam im haben rotu lakachas isha she'ena mehu haguna. He wants to marry a girl who's not proper, who's not haguna. So then vadai says lo klal vadai chayv lishmalo. You have to listen to your father that instance. Meaning, even though the halacha is when you want to decide to marry this girl, and the father says, don't marry her, you don't have to listen to your father. If the ish is enu hugana, if she's not proper, then you have to listen to your father. Now, who decides that? So it doesn't really help us much, how do you decide what's huguna, what's not huguna, but the default is that parents have no right to decide who the child marries. That being said, Rav Elsner says, practically, what happens? So look at number 13. Listen to what he said. Number 13, he says, he quotes the basics of the sugya that we just discussed. And reading just the last two lines, he says, "Uvechol pam, every single time, Shibba Sheila, Kazos Lefanenu, when we had such a Shaila, where there's a level of busha to the family, it's a machlokes who to marry." He says, "Ani machmit hadin, I kind of delayed the din, my psak, my advice. Umamtin, I waited. Ulai yira haben tzidka ta'av, im toin kavod mishpacha." Maybe the father will come around, the son rather will come around and realize that maybe the parents are right. Even though halacha lamaisa, the child has every right who to choose. But never will Rav Elsner, he said, never did he say that's the halacha right away. He said, wait, sit on it, sleep on it, wait a few days, wait a few weeks, and perhaps that's the best advice. Because, you know, many times when children are looking for advice, children are looking for a shidduch, they go to the Rebbe. And we always tell people to go to Rebbe. And that's certainly true. We didn't see once here in the discussion to go to your Rebbe who to decide to marry. The people who know you best are your parents. There's no question. Your parents know you better than your Rebbe. Not to say they'll go against the Rebbe, of course. You have to consult with both. But I know many times children think the parents don't really know them. They don't know what they're like. Your parents, we know. We're parents now. We know our children. The moment they're born, you start seeing their personality. Like 3 weeks in, you already start seeing their nature, how much they smile, how excited they are. Maybe your children don't realize that so much. Maybe we don't realize this from our own parents. I didn't realize this until I became a parent myself. But the parents know the children much better than anybody else. The children think the parents don't get them. Parents are, outdated. They're antique. They don't know what we're like. But again, I'm preaching to the choir here. But what children should understand is that no one knows them better than the parents. So if there's a machlokas, oftentimes the parents are going to be right. So even though the halacha dictates that the child can choose who to marry, the parents, their advice should and does go a long way. Practically, how to do that? Talk to Rabbi. How to manage all of this? So, finish with one last piece here from the Orchot Tzadikim. Orchot Tzadikim writes in the Shar Ratzon. It's not in front of you. He says he's talking about the Indian of Ratzon and one's want and desire to accomplish in this world big things. So, v'chein matzinu, we have found by the Avos. Different ways. They all dated in very different ways. We don't know. Other Mechava had no choice. Okay, that was an arranged marriage. When it came to Avram and Sarah, we don't know much about how they met either. Yitzchak and Rivka, that was arranged, but not a particular one. Eliezer went with the mission from Avram, and he found from the Benos Kanan, who he was supposed to find to marry Rivka. And by Yaakov Avinu also, Yaakov Avinu on his own. The parents were not involved in that. Yaakov found Rachel and Leah on his own, but he was told from where, which girls to choose to marry. So the Orchot Tzadikim writes, V'chein matzinu b'Yaakov Avinu, alav ha-shalom, shenisratze elimo, he listened to his mother, v'shama la'atza itas alinyan ha-brachos, and he paid attention to her about the brachos. He didn't want to steal the brachos. But his mother Rivka says, I want you to dress up and take the brachos from Esav. So Yaakov dressed up, he listened to his mother. He also listened to them who to marry or where to find the girl to marry. He listened to them. And because of this, says Orchot Tzadikim, Lachain Zacha V'yatzmi Menu Shneimasar Shvatim. Because he listened to his parents, even in areas where he didn't have to listen to them. He did not have to listen to Rivka about stealing the brachos. He did not have to listen to them where to find the girl. But he did anyways, and that's the reason, says the Orchot Tzadikim, why he was Zocha to Yatsu Mimenu Shneimasar Shvatim. Okay, so we'll stop here. Next week, I think we'll discuss at what age a person should start looking for Shidduch, and we'll spend the next few weeks on these topics. All right, everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.